So I came across this really interesting paper that just dropped in NPJ Digital Medicine, and I think you'll find it pretty eye-opening. It's essentially a deep dive into where venture money is actually flowing in healthcare AI, and more importantly, where it's not. The title's something like Mapping AI Startup Investment and Innovation in Healthcare Using a Five-Tier AI Systems Complexity Framework, which sounds a bit academic, but the findings? They're genuinely fascinating because they reveal some pretty stark patterns in how we're building the future of medicine. Let me set the stage here. The researchers mapped out AI health startup investment and innovation patterns, looking at where the money's going, which medical domains are getting attention, what the founding teams look like, and how this all translates to FDA approvals. And honestly, the numbers are pretty revealing. First, let's talk about where the money's concentrated. It's not evenly distributed. Two-thirds of AI investments are clustered into just three domains: clinical decision support systems, drug discovery, and imaging diagnostics. We're talking about $10. $4 billion in clinical decision support, $18. $5 billion in drug discovery, and $11. $87 billion in imaging and diagnostics. These are the flashy, technically sophisticated domains, the ones that require deep learning and complex algorithms. They're getting the lion's share of attention and funding. But here's where it gets interesting, and frankly, a bit troubling. Mental health, public health, and rehabilitation are essentially left in the dust, despite having real, pressing clinical needs. These domains haven't attracted anywhere near the same level of investment. So you've got this weird dynamic where some of the most technically challenging problems are well-funded, but some of the most impactful clinical areas from a public health perspective are chronically underfunded. Now let's zoom out geographically. The U.S. absolutely dominates with 1,609 startups and $38 billion in funding. But even within the U.S., it's concentrated. You've got your innovation clusters, Silicon Valley, Boston, and then internationally, London and Berlin are the hotspots. Meanwhile, Africa and South America, minimal startup activity. It's a really stark concentration of innovation in high-income countries, which obviously raises questions about equity and global healthcare outcomes. The third piece of this puzzle is the founding teams themselves. And this is where things get even more interesting. About 35% of founders have primary technical expertise, which makes sense for an AI-driven field. But here's the problem. Clinicians represent less than 5% of founder-only teams. Think about that for a second. We're building AI solutions to solve medical problems, but we're doing it with very few actual doctors, nurses, or healthcare professionals at the founding table. The teams are heavily weighted toward technical and business expertise. And then there's the gender representation issue. Overall, 8% of founders are female. But in technical roles, it drops to just 10.7%. So you've got this small slice of the startup ecosystem already, and women are even more underrepresented in the technical side of it. The last piece of the puzzle is actually quite revealing. What's making it through FDA approval? You'd think that if we've got all these AI startups building advanced autonomous systems, we'd see a wave of complex AI devices getting regulatory approval. But we're not. Over 97% of FDA-approved AI and ML devices are assistive or perceptual AI, basically the lower complexity systems. Advanced and autonomous AI systems each represents less than 1% of approvals. So there's this massive gap between what startups are claiming to build and what's actually making it through the regulatory process. What does all this tell us? Well, a few things jump out. First, there's a mismatch between technical sophistication and clinical need. We're chasing the hard computer science problems, drug discovery, imaging analysis, because they're intellectually interesting and they map nicely to machine learning. But that doesn't necessarily mean they're the areas where, A, I can make the biggest impact on global health outcomes. Mental health, public health interventions, rehabilitation, these domains have huge potential, but they're not sexy from a venture capital perspective. Second, the founder team composition issue is significant. When you don't have clinicians in the room at the founding stage, you run the risk of building solutions that sound great in a demo, but don't actually fit into real healthcare workflows. Doctors and nurses understand the constraints and realities of clinical practice in ways that even the best technical team can't replicate through documentation. This is a classic innovator's dilemma. The startup team might be brilliant at AI, but without clinical input, they could be solving the wrong problem or solving it in a way that doesn't actually integrate into how healthcare actually happens. Third, the FDA approval data is telling us something important about where the regulatory and technical barriers actually are. If advanced AI systems aren't getting through, it's not because we haven't invented them. It's because there are legitimate questions about safety, validation, and clinical utility that we haven't fully solved at scale. The fact that over 97% of approvals are assistive or perceptual systems suggests the field has figured out how to validate AI tools that augment clinical judgment. But we're still working through the tougher problems around autonomous decision-making. So what does this all mean moving forward? The paper makes a pretty compelling case that we need region-specific support, not just venture capital, but actual capacity building, regulatory guidance, and validation infrastructure in underserved geographies. We need to figure out how to fund and support innovation in areas that are clinically critical, but maybe not as intellectually flashy. And probably most importantly, we need to change how founding teams get put together. The evidence is pretty clear. Early-stage partnerships between AI startups and healthcare professionals aren't optional. They're essential if we want solutions that actually work in the real world and that address real clinical needs rather than just interesting technical problems. The good news is we're not starting from zero. We're learning where the gaps are, and now we can actually do something about it. That's the kind of insight that makes research like this valuable. It's not just pointing out problems. It's giving us a roadmap for how to build a healthier AI healthcare ecosystem.